As Clinton and her associates were extremely careless in the handling of classified emails. Donald Trump is responding by claiming the system is rigged. The likely GOP presidential candidate is also questioning Clinton's use of Air Force One. President Obama is hitting the campaign trail with Clinton today for the first time. She will join the president on his plane to travel to Charlotte, North Carolina. Trump wants to know who will be paying for the flight. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by SC Johnson. There are many things that make summer great. Camping trips, barbecues, getaways to the beach. Trying to avoid pesky mosquito bites? Not so great. It's National Mosquito Control Awareness Week, and the bug experts at the SC Johnson Entomology Research Center have a few tips and tricks to help protect you and your family from mosquitoes this summer. Be sure to wear light-colored, breezy fabrics that allow you to cover up while keeping cool. Use personal repellents with DEET or Picaridin. They are the best line of defense from mosquito bites when outdoors. Always make sure to read and follow all directions for repellents carefully. Don't forget to repair the screens on windows and doors to keep mosquitoes out of your house. Outside, make sure to remove any standing water from fountains, bird baths, and buckets where mosquitoes may breed. Lastly, remember some mosquitoes are most active during the day, so be sure to take extra precautions when you're out in the sun. For more tips, visit www.scjohnson.com/mosquito.
An LL plane en route from New York landed safely in Israel today following a bomb threat. Sarah Kessler reports.
It was a dramatic scene over the skies of Switzerland and France, both countries scrambling fighter jets to escort LL Flight 002 from Kennedy Airport to Ben-Gurion in Tel Aviv after an anonymous bomb threat came in. It turned out to be a false alarm, and the Boeing 747 continued on to Israel, landing safely. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Italian authorities believe a homeless man is responsible for the death of an American college student in Rome. University of Wisconsin sophomore Bo Solomon went missing Thursday after going to a bar with friends. Officials pulled his body from the Tiber River yesterday. His credit cards were used after his disappearance. The House will vote this week on a counterterrorism bill to keep suspected terrorists from buying guns, but Speaker Paul Ryan says he wants to be sure there are due process provisions. This is USA Radio News.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
A Sunday gun range tragedy leaves a teenager dead. USA's Chris Barnes has the details.
Authorities in Florida still investigating the shooting at a gun range in which the father accidentally killed his 14-year-old son. The Sarasota County Sheriff's Office saying young Stephen Brumby was shot as his father, William Brumby, tried to remove a bullet casing that had dropped down the back of his shirt after bouncing off a wall. As he reached back, his gun accidentally fired, hitting his son, who was standing behind him. The boy died at a hospital a short time later. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The latest Baltimore police officer to face trial in the death of Freddie Gray is opting for a bench trial, just as two other officers before him. According to the Baltimore Sun, Lieutenant Brian Rice has elected to allow a judge to decide his case instead of a jury. The decision came this morning after Judge Barry Williams denied a motion to dismiss the case against Rice, who is charged with involuntary manslaughter, assault, misconduct, and reckless endangerment. One of the Egypt Air pilots apparently tried to put out a fire in the cockpit just before Flight 804 plunged into the Mediterranean Sea last May. Authorities in Egypt claim the audio from the flight deck recorder indicates a crew member attempted to extinguish a blaze after a smoke alarm went off. The Airbus A320 was flying from Paris to Cairo when it went down, killing all 66 people on board. This is USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, we're on the web at usaradio.com.
Hey, and this is Joe Peters at Weikert, and I'm sitting here with Dave Watts today. Say hello, Dave.
Hello there, Joe. How you doing?
And we're going to be back in a few. We're going to go through the weather, and then we're going to go through a few of our paid sponsors, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. I'm going to do the weather myself, so let's take a quick look at it. It looks like it's going to get progressively more muggy this week and hot. 92 tomorrow, 94 the next day, 93 on Friday, 87. We're going to have a a cool wave on Friday, Saturday after all of that. But every day the humidity is up in the 40-50%. So I guess we can have a little bit of a threat of a thunderstorm any one of those days. So let's go through a few of the people that help us keep this station on the air, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., okay, a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, and SIPC.
Hey, this is Joe Peters. I'm back with Dave Watts. And usually my first week of the new month, I do my real estate recap. And I'm going to do that the second week because Dave had a book signing. I said, let's get you on this week and see if we can bring some people out to meet you at the book signing. It's going to be at Barnes & Noble at the Somerville Circle, and it's going to be on July 10th at noon. So if you'd like to meet Dave in person and get him to personally autograph your book, the opportunity is there. He personally autographed mine, and it says, or dedicated it, it says, you have the right to remain silent, but if you enjoy my book, please don't. I love it. It's just a great inscription. So, Dave, this program is my 55 plus. And 55 plus, the last time we talked, we just talked about everybody's got a book in you. And sooner or later, you can get it out and get it on paper. And that's what you did. And that's why I asked you on. And you told us a little story last time. So in case some of the people missed the last episode, we're going to talk about the second half of this book this time. Tell us how you got the book. What got you to get the book? How did you get from, I think I got a book, though I do have a book?
Well, it was a sort of a strange series of events, I guess. I was writing articles for Res Gestae, which is a legal term, and it's for the Lee County, Florida Bar Association, and I was writing articles. So I had accumulated a few articles, and then I started writing articles for Southwest Florida Business Today, and I accumulated a few more articles. And then one day I sat down and looked at all my articles, and I said, you know, to myself, maybe I should expand on this. Wow. And see what I can do. And then I started thinking about how it all started, and
yep,
that's how it started.
Well, so how many years back, from the first thought to the book is hardcover, how long did it take you?
About a year and a half.
That's not bad. I thought you were going to say something like 10 or 12.
No, so about a year and a half, really.
That's interesting. And you're published by?
Well, it's North Loop.
North Loop.
Yeah, but that's really Hillcrest Media.
Okay.
In Minneapolis. Right.
So what is the process of getting published? You got to first find a publisher that's willing to talk to you, I would think, and then?
Well, a lot of them will talk to you because this is what they call independent publishing or self-publishing.
Right.
So you pay to have your book done.
Right.
And you get a manuscript. You have your raw manuscript, and you submit it, and they take a look at it and tell you what they think should be done to turn it into a finished manuscript.
Interesting.
In my case, we spend winters in Florida. So in my case, on Sanibel Island, there was a terrific bookstore, and the owner of it had 18 years' experience in Manhattan as an editor.
Wow.
In a major publishing house. So I paid her to do the first real shakedown of the manuscript. Yep. And then when I submitted it to Hillcrest Media, it was in a little better shape than most come in.
Okay. So. And then did you need somebody else to proofread it again?
Yeah, well, they went through the first woman in Florida went through it in terms of content, continuity, likability, doing away with repetitiveness and redundancy. See what I mean?
Yep. The Department of Redundancy.
The Department of Redundancy Department, right. So she helped me with those kind of things. And then when it went to Hillcrest Media, they dug down into acceptable current day punctuation.
Okay.
Things like that.
So what? There's some money out of your pocket to get it this far.
Right, right.
What would an average person need to spend to get a book published?
Oh, there's different levels. I mean, there's from the first level to the fourth. I happen to choose the third level.
Okay.
But you can spend anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000, depends on what you want, with all the bells and whistles and things like that that go along.
And then you pay for the original publication, I guess, how many books you publish.
And then you buy your own books.
And go out and sell them.
Well, you buy them. But they also, it depends on the category that you choose. Because in my particular category, they put my books on Amazon. Right. They nurtured that onto Amazon and to Barnes & Noble and onto Kindle and so forth. That's part of their program.
So how have sales been so far? I
mean, well, pretty good. We're out of the chute here pretty recently, so it takes some time for people to know it. But locally, it's just caught on like crazy. I mean, really.
And is it mostly mail face-to-face, word-of-mouth, or are you getting some off of Amazon as well?
So far, it's the former rather than the latter. Yeah.
Okay. Because I would think I do work with Mike Michalowicz, who's written 3 or 4 books, and he's got them on audio and hardcover. And I always said, oh, Dave, all due respect, I'm going to just buy it audio because I'll listen to it a lot quicker and I'll read it.
Right.
And I guess he's on his 4th, and he was going through some of the things. And he had the session he did with the Somerset Chamber that where I met him was everybody's got a book in them. And that's sort of what this
is. Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. It's just squeezing it out is the thing. We're like sponges, you know. All of our little brain cells keep all these things. But in order to squeeze it out, you have to do a few things.
Well, what a great thing to do in your 55 plus years is to sort of get some of those thoughts on tape.
You mean 55 plus, plus, plus.
Plus, plus, plus. I was being kind.
You're a good guy, Joe.
I had one of the people I work with, she was on here, and she does, I'm trying to think of her last name, it's Teresa, and she's with Home Prepper Stages, and she just turned 50. She said, but I don't look at it as being 50. It's the 15th anniversary of my 35th birthday.
Perfect.
And I think if you look at it that way, none of us are getting older. But I know I've thought about it myself since we've talked, and I said, well, I'm sure there is a book in there somewhere. I haven't got the time to do it because my real estate business is really bumping along right now. It's been a great year for real estate. And yet last year was the best ever, and this has topped that by 2-1. But there'll be a point where I want to slow down, and I guess have to wrap my head around what's in me.
Let me give you some advice.
Okay.
Don't think too hard about it.
Interesting.
Really. Don't think too much about it. You have to think about it in increments.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're not overwhelmed by the whole vision of I have to do a book.
Right.
Instead, write some things down, maybe make notes, observations as you think of them. Sometimes things come to me at 3 a.m. My wife says, where are you? I'm making a note. So, oh, okay.
Yeah, she understands. You know?
Yeah, because then when I get up, if I don't make the note, by the time I get up in the morning, I forgot about it. But it's a good way to do
things.
Well,
it's interesting. One of my favorite writers is Stephen King. I think if he's written something that I haven't read, he's written it recently or I haven't discovered it. But he wrote a book about writing a book, and I don't remember the contents of this, but I remember reading the book 5-6 years ago, and it was very interesting and thought-provoking. So I'm sure there's plenty of books about writing books, just how to get organized. But I think I know from what you just said, I was always in corporate sales, and we were always making pitches. And I was – a lot of times I would have a pad by the next – my nightstand. I'd get up in the middle
ideas,
of the night.
Ideas.
Yeah, and if I didn't get up and go do it, I would forget it by the next morning. So I'd jot it down, and I'd go back to sleep. It was like emptying the – that's what's on my mind bucket.
Well, after I had compiled these articles that I wrote
– right.
Not that each article is precisely portrayed in the book – necessarily, but it gave me an idea. The idea didn't come until after the articles, if you follow me. That's how the brain works. I realized that in my life, I was a policeman in uniform. I was a detective. Then I was an insurance agent, so I worked for a corporation.
The title writer.
Right.
That's the right
then
term.
I did some title searching, and then I became a PI. So these different categories. So I thought, and I sat down, and I said, all right, let me take one page for each category. And what was the highlight? What was the highlight of that particular category? What was a turning point? What was a, you know, that kind of a thing? So I wrote that idea down on each one of those pages. And then I expanded it a little bit, and expanded each page a little bit. And then first thing you know, I was able to flesh out and put things in the order that I wanted to put them. The book starts out, as you know, with me at 26 years old, not the 21-year-old that went on the Plainfield Police Department in uniform and later went to the Army and blah, blah, blah. A 26-year-old being called by a mysterious detective lieutenant saying, can I pick you up at your house? I had just gotten off midnight shift. I said, sure, Lieutenant Hennessy, sure. I mean, I said to my wife, I can't imagine what this is about. I'm sure I'm not in trouble. you know. So we get in his car. He doesn't say a word, and we go down and we sit on Rushmore Avenue. I'm really wondering about this guy now.
Yeah.
And we're looking down three blocks, and he says a green Pontiac is going to appear, and this guy is going to get out and go in the house, and he's going to come out and so forth. I won't give it all away, but that was the pivotal point in my law enforcement career, because I went from plain clothes, excuse me, from the uniform into plain clothes at that juncture.
Wow.
And so then what I did was I made that the opening of the book.
Yep.
And then a couple pages, three pages later, I flashed back to how it all started in police work. So that's how you kind of organize.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Stephen King was getting into too, is that your book is probably four or five little stories that intertwine at a key point, and you got to build the little stories and
around it. Yeah.
When you start reading somebody's book, you say, where are they coming from? Where is he going? And then all and it's, then you
comes together.
It.
Yeah.
I'll give you a great example. We watched a movie called The Revenant. I don't know if you've seen this, but it was Leonardo DiCaprio, and it was a long movie, 3+ hours. And we started watching it, and we were about an hour into it. And Marilyn looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, should we go on? We just didn't get it. You know, it was one of those that wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And let's give it another 15 minutes. We're still talking about that movie today. It was a captivating, provocative movie,
right,
with great cinematography, right, with a story that can't be beat. And if anybody hasn't had a chance to go watch The Revenant, I mean, that I think is like writing a book. It's like, where are they coming from? Where are they going? And then all of a sudden, you're in the middle of it and can't put it down.
Right, right.
As I said, I read a lot. I read on tape. I do probably 60% novels, and I do the other 40% sort of things about my profession. For like I'm away when a real estate convention goes on. So I buy it on tape. It's like $250. I can listen. And right now I'm listening to last year's.
It's cheaper than airfare, right?
Oh, you got it. And I'm still getting the same. I don't get the credit you would get if you were there, but I don't need them. I find that it, for me, it's a catharsisism, if I'm saying the word right. I go out and I walk. I just wipe my mind. I shut my phone off. I take it with me just in case I have an issue somewhere along the line and get run over or whatever. I've got the phone with me, but I don't even look at messages. It's an hour a morning I go and I read. And in an hour a morning, because you figure an average book's 8 or 9 hours, I can read 3 books a month. And if I have a library of probably 300 or 400 books on tape that I've read, and all, I won't read anything that's abridged. It's all unabridged, and it's all, I love Patterson, I love Clancy, I love a lot of the people that, you got a book in you. You want to get the book out of you. This one, let's go back and come forward on the book. I mean, the first half of the book,
sure,
which is all I had read a month ago when we first talked, was about Dave starting with the police and really started the detective and backed up. And we got up to about where he was in Plainfield and there where the Plainfield riots were starting. I've since then finished the book, and that's why we're having a second program, and discovered, wow, he really had some career. There was a lot there.
Well, that's another thing that I suddenly realized or dawned on me. When you're going through it, it's present, it's today, it's current, you know. But then when time is between you and those events, suddenly you have a different perspective on it.
Right.
I looked back and I said, doggone, I did have an interesting career.
Sure did.
You know?
So if somebody's sitting out there thinking today, man, I'd like to talk to Dave Watts, how would they go about doing that? They'd pick up the phone and dial?
Yeah, 908-328-5114.
908-328-5114. And my name's Joe Peters. If you ever want to talk to me, I don't know why, unless you want to buy or sell a house, but I'm available as well, 908-238-0118. Once again, I work for Weikert. I do a Real Estate Matters show, and every other week I do a 55-plus show. The last show we talked about, it was interesting. 2 shows back we talked about gray divorce, people getting divorced after they're 65. Interesting show. That will be on the air pretty soon because we do format them. Last week we talked about planning a funeral. It's a sort of a macabre subject. It's a taboo subject to most people. And I had DJ Wright, who runs the Wright Ford Funeral Home here near the Flemington Circle, and he makes it conversational. You know, it's a ministry to him. He is a minister. I didn't realize that. But that will be available on my playback channel in the next week or two, and then days will come on after that. So what I try to do is help people who have passed through the 55 mark. My little logo says if 55 is in your rearview mirror and you're rapidly approaching 65 or maybe just passing that as well, this is the show for you. This is about people who have gone through it already, and people can help relate back to you some of the experiences they've had. If you'd like to see any of my archives, jpeters.com is my site. 55 plus is the tab, and I'll have all my shows out there. There's got to be a dozen of them, so I'm not going to waste time broadcasting that. I want to talk to Dave. Dave, I remembered, we got started before the radio came on, the NORC riots. It was like around the late 60s, early 70s, and it was, my God, nothing like that had ever happened before. And then you were in Plainfield, and I didn't remember to apply. Well, maybe if you asked me in 72, I'd still remember. But right now, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, much less what happened in the late 60s, early 70s. Talk a little about the Plainfield riots.
Well, the Plainfield riot was essentially an overflow or a lesser continuation of the Newark riot.
Okay.
The Newark riot took place in the first couple of weeks of July 1967.
Wow.
July 16th, 1967. By that time, it had died down in Newark, and some of the agitators came to Plainfield. Now, there were three principal elements that contributed to the riot in Plainfield. Number one was those agitators. The second one was a break-in in a gun store in Middlesex, New Jersey, and ironically called Plainfield Machine.
Wow.
But it was in Middlesex, New Jersey. And 45 to 50, I don't remember the number exactly, around 50, 30 caliber carbines with a ton of ammunition was stolen out of the store. Now, this is during turbulent times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third element, tragically, was the murder, the stomping to death of patrolman John Gleason.
Wow, that was a
so those point. Three things all converged on one another in one day.
So
one day.
You mentioned two things about the Plainfield riots in the book. One was the agitators, and I'd like to go on with that on a separate subject. The other one was that the people in Plainfield weren't like the people in Newark. You said the people in Newark had no homes, no fathers. It was typical inner city, where Plainfield were law-abiding citizens just agitated up. Did I read it right?
Close. In Newark, you had really tough living conditions.
Right.
Urban blight would describe it best. I mean, people living in places without heat. I mean, living, without food. It was really tough in Newark at the time. I don't think it's that much better now, but it is certainly better, but
yeah.
not. And in Plainfield, the contrast was that most of the people in Plainfield were law-abiding citizens. The African-American population of Plainfield was fairly peaceful in terms of when you look at riots. Look, we had our criminals. We had our drug hopheads, and mm-hmm. we had burglars, and we had murderers. We had robbers and everything. But that's just city crime. But in terms of rioting, Nobody could believe it when it happened in Plainfield. We couldn't believe it.
And do you think of the three, the agitators was the biggest issue?
Oh, no, I think it was a combination of the three. The agitators probably was the fuse, that set it off. But I think that when you put all three together, it was just a deadly mix.
And you said later in the book that the guns, for the most part, were never found.
They just found a couple. I don't know.
Wow.
They
wow.
never found. And I spent a lot of time with Sterling West. He was a Linden police officer, mm-hmm. a black man. And he and I ran informants all over the county trying to find out more about the guns. But I think the guns totally disappeared out of the area pretty quickly.
Sounds it.
After the riot. They were used in the riot, the shooting at the police. You see, Joe, I was in the prosecutor's office by 1966.
Mm.
I left Plainfield in after a couple of years.
That's right. You had
in the detective bureau, and then I moved up to the prosecutor's office. But Plainfield's in Union County, so when it hit the fan, we were called back. Yeah. So we went back into Plainfield.
So your progression went from police officer to detective to
county prosecutor's
office.
Right.
Is that usually a political office, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's we wanted to get out of Plainfield.
Yeah.
We had to at the time. We had to live in the city.
Right.
And my wife and I were young newlyweds, and we wanted to get out of there.
Yep.
And it offered other places to live.
Great.
So
I may be skipping a chapter or two, but it sounds like that's how you wound up in Hunterdon County, in the Cokesbury section.
Yes, 1970. That's
1970.
Right.
1970.
Yes.
Wow. Small little ranch.
Well, Allstate didn't care where I lived. When I went to work for the insurance company, they
didn't. You went from being a county prosecutor employee to an insurance adjuster.
Correct.
Okay. And that transition was sort of interesting because I remember you said if you'd have given up, you'd have never been there. I can tell the story. My son was in the Navy in what's south of L.A.? San Diego. And I went out to boot camp with him, and I made reservations. He went to a couple of his friends, and my two daughters were with me. And we went to the wrong restaurant. And I came in, and they said, "We don't have a reservation for you." She said, "Let me look at next Saturday." Maybe we wrote it down wrong. I said, "Oh, look, I made the reservation here. I want a table." I said, "Okay, sit down for 5 minutes. We'll have a complimentary drink. We'll find you a table." And then we came out of the restaurant an hour or two later, and I said, "Michael, that wasn't the restaurant we made the reservations at." It's just amazing how a little chutzpah, as you put it,
exactly,
can get you a long way. You went in, and
you want
said,
me to tell you that story?
Yeah, tell it. It was great.
Okay. So I decided to leave the reservation. I decided that I was 29 years old, and all of these guys who had been in World War II and Korea and had 17, 18 years experience in the police department and pension in the police department, they couldn't leave.
Yep.
But I wasn't that deeply invested. So I said, "I want to do some kind of investigation work. What can I do?" And when you think about that, that's got to be pretty limited.
Yep.
So I went up to the only insurance company I knew about, Allstate up in Murray Hill.
Okay.
And I walked in the front door cold, and it was one of these really high 30-foot atrium affairs with big glass doors, you know, imposing.
Yeah.
I walked in, and there was this 50-ish lady sitting at a desk in the middle of the room, and she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I'm interested in an investigation job." I said, "I'm currently an investigator with the prosecutor's office, and I'm looking for a change of career." So she reached down into a drawer and pulled out an application and started pushing it to me. And she said, "That's good. We're hiring. We're hiring right now." And as I laid my thumb and forefinger on the application she was holding on the other end, she said, "What college did you graduate from?" I said, "Well, I only went a year to Rutgers." And she yanked it back.
Oh.
She yanked the application back very nicely, though. And she said, "Well, I'm sorry. You have to have a college degree to be a claims adjuster here." I said, "Oh." So I was a little dejected. I headed for the door. And about halfway there, I said to myself, "What the heck? I've got nothing to lose."
Yeah.
So I turned around and walked back to her and said, her head by now is back down. I said, "Excuse me, but that's the dumbest thing I ever heard." And she said, "I beg your pardon." I said, "Well, you would take a 22-year-old kid just out of college with no experience whatsoever over somebody with 8 years of law enforcement experience.
Right.
Half of it in the detective bureau. Is that what you're telling me?" Now, this is a 50-ish-year-old lady, and I'm in my late 20s. She started tapping her pencils. She looked at me. Her eyes narrowed. And she said, you sit down over there." So I sat down.
Hmm.
And a couple minutes later, a chubby fellow came out, introduced himself as Earl Buckley, took me to a side room, and we sat down. We talked for a while. After about 4 hours and a battery of tests and this and that, he said, "You know what? I have to sell you to the upper echelon around here, but I think I'm going to hire you." And he stepped out, and then he leaned back in, and he said, "By the way, I didn't graduate from college either, and I do just fine here."
I love it.
Had I not, as you say, chutzpah, had I not said, "What the heck have I got to lose?" Who knows where my career path would have gone.
Right.
You know?
It's those little times in life that you transition in a direction and take that first step, and it's first of many, many, many steps.
The name of the book, Accidental PI.
Accidental PI. That's right. Well, I don't think we mentioned the name of the book. It's Accidental PI, and it's A Private Investigator's 50-Year Search for the Facts by David B. Watts. David is sitting here with me. First of all, I'm Joe Peters, and this is my 55-plus radio show. We're talking about getting a book out of you in your 55-plus years, and David Watts has done just that, and that's why he's here. If you'd like to talk to David, not in the next half hour because we're on the air, but after the show, you could reach him at 908-328-5114. So you became an insurance investigator, and it sounds like you like to work too much at that job.
I get it. Yes. Well, I started right off like a barn burner. You know, they gave me a bunch of files, and I knocked them out. And suddenly, I was approached by some of the other guys, and they said, "What are you doing? You know, we only work two and a half days a week." I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. You know, they're paying everybody a full salary with a company car, and if you know what you're doing and you know how to do it, well, of course, I know how to take a statement on the phone instead of driving 40 miles each way. So it was quite a racket for a while. I got the job done.
Yep.
They all did. We got the job done, and much to their satisfaction, by the way, because really all they wanted was closures. They wanted you to close the claims one way or another, either by close without payment, meaning no liability, or, you know, negotiate a settlement. So I did fine. Somewhere along the line, I got involved in title searching from a local lawyer. So then we had a little business going on the side, and we were making some money at it. And when the stretch got too much, one foot on the boat, one foot on the dock, I made another decision, and that was to go into title searching full time. And we left Allstate after 6 years. You know, each one of these experiences, each one of these, remember I said the pages with that you choose, the times in your life when there's changes, that experience of 6 years in the civil side, working on civil cases, add that to the 8 years of law enforcement, inject into all of that understanding of real estate, title searching, you know, meets and bounds descriptions and all of that stuff. Put all of that together, you got three of the four corners of a law firm, you know.
That's interesting.
And so then in 76, I decided to get my private investigator's license.
So let's go through the insurance investigation for another minute or two. It sounded like a lot of your surveillance work out well there, observing people and documenting that they weren't as injured as they claimed they were.
That came later, Joe.
Okay.
The claims adjusters themselves don't do surveillance.
All right.
But they do make liability decisions. They go to accident scenes and take pictures of the, you know, they take statements from people, and you negotiate. And negotiating a settlement, this is the first time I ever did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 8 years of law enforcement, there's no negotiation. Yeah. You're under arrest.
Right.
You know, there's no
pretty dictatorial.
There's no negotiations here. So now I'm just learning new things, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
So talk a little about the title. I went and our records manager here, which is our county clerk, and I'm trying to come up with her name. Do you know? She's a wonderful her last name is Maffey, and I'm trying to remember.
Mary Melfi.
Mary, yes, Melfi. Yeah. She has once a year or twice a year a record search day where you can come in on a Saturday and she shows you how to go through this the county paperwork.
Deeds and mortgages and judgments.
And while doing that, I found a couple of gadflies in there that were title guys. And they were just trying to say, can I help you? Or maybe you'd want my services. And
yeah, sure.
It sounded like it was a labor of love, but probably also not a way to earn a heck of a lot of money to me. They were there. But they were there because that's what they like to do, and maybe to some extent was all they knew how to do.
I think you got a wrong impression.
Do I? Okay.
I think so. Every real estate closing has a title search.
Right.
And title insurance.
The title insurance is a lot of money.
Yes.
Okay, and that's based on the title search.
And when the title searcher, who is an agent of the title insurance company, gets a percentage of the title insurance, sure. And the titles go back, well, of course, they go back to
forever.
1700s, 1800s.
Yeah.
A title search has to have a 60-year clear title.
Okay.
So if you're starting off with a piece of farmland that, yep. that has never been searched, or has not never, but not recently,
right.
you have to go back to a warranty deed at least 60 years. Okay? Mm. Now, most often that's not the case anymore here.
Okay.
But back in the 70s when Linda and I were doing that, there were a lot of there was a lot of farmland that was underdeveloped, and you would have to go back and do that search. Now, if there were pieces of that 100-acre farm that had been sold off,
right.
then that piece was searched, which would include the whole 100 acres, you see.
Yep.
So those are called exceptions, and you learn how to do all of this stuff, and you kind of work hand in glove with a surveyor too. You know, they have.
So there's much more to it than
there's much more to it.
I gave my wife the wrong impression because I thought these guys are making like maybe under $100 for search, and that's the way they earn their living.
Not necessarily.
They're getting,
no,
they're getting a piece of because like a title insurance is typically about $2,200 today, and you're saying they're getting a piece of that.
Oh, sure.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, I stand corrected.
And not only that, as the longer you're in business, the bigger your title plant becomes.
Right.
Because if you think about it, the genealogy doesn't change, does it?
No.
I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
So once you have it, now if somebody wants to buy a piece of property and you have the back title to it, they get charged for the search.
Ah, okay.
Okay. And that includes the whole thing.
So it's almost like a copyright on the title.
Loosely interpreted, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, until I went that day, I didn't really, being in real estate, I plead ignorance. I understood what a title was, and I understood what a, when you buy something, you get like a bill of sale for real estate, and there's a name for that, and that is the deed.
Right.
So the deed means Mary sold it to John for this price on this date. That's all a deed is. There's no abstract to it whatsoever. The title search goes just as you described.
That's
back
an abstract.
As far as you want to go, and you're saying right. 60 is the minimum it goes.
But you see, they also check to make sure that all of the interest passes. Now, okay. if you passes from one party to another. Now, if you go back, say, 30 or 40 years, and there was an estate,
yep.
and they died intestate without a will, you have to be sure that all of the heirs were joined in any subsequent deeds.
Okay.
So it can get very complicated.
Sounds it.
It can get very complicated.
Sounds it. And you're in books and books and books of paper, although some of it's now microfiched and filmed and whatever.
Right. We used to sling the big books. They were called
the
tomes, they were called.
Tomes?
T-O-M-E-S, that's what they're called.
Where did that word come from? Lord knows. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to break for a few more commercials. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
That's interesting. Dave's just reading an email he got from, why don't you read it on the air? It's interesting.
Well, this is from Bill Lawler. He was on the Plainfield Police Department after I left, and he said he went to the Somerset County when he retired. I went to the PPAC bank and ran into his wife accidentally, accidental PI, right? I ran into his wife, and she said, well, I'm Bill Lawler's wife. And he goes on to say in this email, I then spoke to Ed Parr, who read your book, says it's great, and that his info on the Plainfield riot in 67. Coincidentally, I received an email from Ed Santiago, the former Plainfield police chief, that he was forwarding from a person he knows in the Plainfield Public Library, who in turn is seeking information on the riots for a presentation of sort to be given regarding the 50th anniversary coming up. I thought you might be interested, so I'm forwarding this attachment to you, thinking you might want to contact him. You might be able to parlay your book sales by contacting them, or maybe even a book signing at the library. Just passing it on. I haven't read your book yet, but I plan to. Best to you in the book.
Bill Lawler. Once again, Dave is one of those 55-plussers, and he says plus, 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 that has gotten a book out of him and got on a paper. It's called The Accidental PI. He's going to have a book signing next Saturday.
Sunday at noon.
Sunday, July 10th at Barnes & Noble on the Somerville Circle. Stop by at noon and say hello to Dave. Or if you can't make it, you can reach him at 908-328-5114. So we've progressed through your career. You've started the title business. Now it's time to take the next step. So it sounded to me like you bundled that business off and still kept your thumb in it a little.
Well, do you remember when I said that I kept one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat? Well, now we're title searching full time, and I got the itch to get back into investigation work, so I kept one foot on the boat, one foot on the dock again. And when the stretch became too big, in other words, when the PI work started really overshadowing the title work, then we made the decision and we sold our title search business, which had now grown, to a junior partner. So that was a good situation for all of us. And he is still in business up there.
Is he?
Warren County, yeah.
What's the name of the
His name is Jim Pence, and it's Probe Lawyer Service.
Probe Lawyer Services. Neat. And then you went and started your PI for the first time.
Yes, and you see here again now, when you're in title searching, you're working for lawyers.
Right.
I introduced my PI license, so to speak, to the lawyers that I had been doing the title search for. So those that did that kind of work started hiring me, and one of them in particular, Bill Albrecht, lovely man, he's gone now. He's an ex-FBI, was an ex-FBI agent, and he was working for Skank Price Smith & King.
Okay.
And he had an office in Belvedere, a full practice. He did all kinds of things. And he sent me out on my first few cases, and he was delighted with what he got back. And referred me to the main office in Morristown, who did work for Selective Insurance Company. So it's just this contact type of thing. And once you do for one insurance company, somebody else hears about it. Yep. So that's how that went.
You know, I get people saying, real estate, I think I could do real estate. And I said, you probably can. You know, if you know a little about a house and a little about people, you can do real estate. But can you build a pipeline? And that's what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
How do you find your business?
Yes.
And it took me 10 or 12 years to get where I'm at, and it took a while because I did know people, but I had to realize what people could help me and what people weren't much help at all, but took a lot of time and separate one from the two.
And you do need a little luck.
Yeah,
Opportunities, a little luck. But the thing is, when the luck is there, you have to snag it. You have to go after it. The door is open, jump through.
I was told that luck is being prepared and then have the opportunity happen.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot to be said for that.
Absolutely.
And I also think what you said, you do need a little bit of luck, because I have a thing on my wall that says nothing will ever replace dumb luck.
Right.
And being just at the right spot. I'll give you a good example. I went, and this is sort of networking. I went and we were doing a technology roundtable at the 100 in Somerset board last week. And it was only me and a mortgage guy showed up, just the two of us. And we're both texting and waiting for more people to show up. So I finally shut my phone off and said, let's make the best of it. So tell me what you do. He told me what he did. I told him what I did. And we got to talking. And we're somewhat related. I use mortgage people, and he has people that are looking for houses. Long story short, 3 weeks later, I got a lead on a $600,000 buyer from that man. So this is where it's at. You don't know where you're next.
You never know.
You've got to just keep working that network. And
well, let me give you a further example of it. Okay. Here we are doing insurance surveillances now and catching these fakes,
yep,
and overstated claims and getting them on, well, Super 8 at the time, but
wow,
eventually, eventually videotape. And there was a fellow who went to work from the Plainfield Police Department to Johnson & Johnson, where he became the assistant director of security for J&J's 150 companies.
Wow.
John called me one day and he says, I hear you're doing this PI work. I said, yeah. He said, how'd you like to work some for us?
Nice.
So that then turned into Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Colgate-Palmolive,
wow,
Carter Wallace, Merck, and even Whitney Houston's family. We started working for them as well. And it was all sort of a word of mouth. Somebody might, I guess, in the background, I never heard it, but somebody might say, listen, I need an investigation done. You know anybody?
Right.
And instead of going to Yellow Pages cold, they would much rather have a referral.
Right.
And that's
the way it works.
That's how it works.
I mean, we were talking before the show started. We're both going to a leads group in the morning. We're at 8 o'clock in the morning with 30 other people from the 100 in Chamber, and we have three of those leads groups talking to each other. We each get to present what we do for 2 minutes, and then with a little bit of luck, you'll click with somebody.
And the first 20 minutes, I'm giving a talk on identity theft tomorrow morning.
That's neat. As a matter of fact, I've asked Dave, and he's accepted. Sometime in the next month or two, we're going to have Dave come back and talk about identity theft, which is a major, major subject. But let's finish the book, or at least your life story, which is the book. Your PI private practice spanned how many years?
40.
Wow. And all of those, that's where the surveillance came
back. Yeah, we got our first license in 1976 in New Jersey. Then that kind of, we started going to Florida on vacations and then spent a little bit more time there when we had a condo. And I got a license in Florida as well and got a little business down there. And then realizing that we're working the New York to Philadelphia corridor, I ended up getting licenses in Pennsylvania and New York as well. So we started hiring people, and that's when I really learned what it was like to be a business person, because now I'm hiring and firing,
yep,
you know, and giving raises and looking at the production value of the effort that's been put in and so forth.
The best analogy I can give, there's a lot of good cooks, but there's not a lot of good restaurant runners. You know, a lot of restaurants fail because they just have no business sense.
And that's right.
In effect, I think many businesses are that way. So how many people did you have at your peak in your organization?
We had a dozen full-time investigators.
Wow.
We had a 2,500-square-foot office in Annandale Square.
Okay.
You know where that is?
Yeah.
Nice building. Aaron Papazian, by the way, was the greatest landlord I ever had in my life. Nice man, good man. He's still there. And we had 4 surveillance vans, and we just had a good system set up. My wife managed the office. She was the office manager.
Isn't that neat?
She cracked the whip, and I dealt with the client, did the reports, answered questions. And in other words, at this point now, this would have been in the 90s. At this point, there wasn't hardly many questions I didn't know the answer to or couldn't find the answer to.
Right.
And we hired a lot of those young criminal justice majors looking for the alphabet job, you know, the FBI,
yeah,
you know, the FBI, the ATF, and the ABC jobs, and they don't all get them.
So now, after all of that, and we've got about 4 minutes left, are you retired or do you still have 1 foot in the boat?
1 foot in the boat.
Okay, so yeah. That's good.
Yeah, and hopefully the other one's not in the grave. But
yeah,
I do enjoy it. Right now I have 3 major cases and a couple of little things, but it's mind stimulating, and it's great to be able to accomplish something for someone who has a problem, whether it's a company or an individual. Now, you know, I told you in the beginning, Linda and I don't do matrimonial. We don't do custody work. Right. We've shied away from that. It's mostly insurance and corporate work that we do. Sometimes one corporation's a little angry at another corporation, and they want to find out some information. So that's up to us to do that.
So of all the things you've done, what has been the most personally rewarding? I mean, you're a cop, you're a detective, you were a title search agent.
Oh, I think the sum total.
Something.
I don't think you can take any one of them out and say that was less than the other. I think it's been a progression, you know. Layers have been built upon layers.
And that's the book, Accidental PI. Once again, we've been on with Dave Watts, 55 plus, tries to give you an insight to what some people that maybe have met the end of their career unexpectedly, or have the other half is still working and are not ready to move on and are just trying to learn from others that have gone through it. Writing a book is a great... And I'm sure the book itself brings you back your network, as you got that last email.
I think my last words... wasn't it my last word in the book? Okay. Often last but never least, my wife of 53 years, 54 now,
wow,
Linda Watts. Honey, you're the greatest. Thanks so much for enduring all those times when my head was rummaging around back in the 60s. Hi, I'm back.
I love it. That is a great ending. I remember reading that last night when I finished the book. I sort of had to cram as I read half of Dave's, and I said, my God, I got a day to go, and I got to read the other half of the book for the best of the show. This is Joe Peters with Dave Watts. David is going to be at Barnes & Noble on Sunday the 10th at noon at the Somerville Circle. If you'd like to go there and get him to personally autograph a book, as he's done for me, I'd be more than happy to do it for you. Or if you can't make that and would just like to talk to Dave, 908-328-5114. I appreciate you tuning in for the hour. I'm going to give you a little about what I do for a living for a minute, and then we're going to go to the news, and then Greg will be in with his music show to quickly follow. So thanks for tuning in. Joe Peters at Weichert & Clinton, Dave Watts at Barnes & Noble next Sunday at noon or at his phone number, and we hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
8 of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 of those chains contained secret information at the time. and 8 contained confidential information at the time.
FBI Director James Comey announcing he will not recommend criminal charges against Hillary Clinton in the email scandal. He says no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a criminal case, but he did say Clinton and her associates were extremely careless. Cybersecurity expert Morgan Wright tells Fox News it's easy for some of the classified information to be picked up by enemies of the U.S.
This is child's play to China, Russia, North Korea, even some of our friends, Israel. It's child's play for them.
And presidential rival Donald Trump is responding. He is calling the system rigged. This is USA Radio News.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't overspend?
Nope. With our price match guarantee, you can always get the lowest price on everything for your office.
Everything?
Everything.
The lowest prices on ink, paper, coffee.